Welcome to the Sporty Dietitian Podcast, a show that helps you simplify your nutrition and amplify your activity. I'm your host, Sarah, a board-certified sports dietitian, personal trainer, and expert in sports nutrition. All right, guys, today we are going to be talking about a supplement. I'll be reviewing it and giving you my unsolicited opinion of whether or not I think that you should be taking it or you should be avoiding it. And that supplement is branched chain amino acids, or you'll hear me refer to them as BCAAs. I just want to put a disclaimer out there and say that I am a dietitian. I have studied food for a very long time. And frankly, there's a lot of things that we know about food, and there's a lot of things that we don't know about supplements. So you will probably notice a theme if you've never heard me talk about supplements before. I do tend to take a food-first approach, but I am not anti-supplement. If I think that a supplement is going to be okay for you to take, it's not going to interfere with any medications that you're taking, any deficiencies that you may have, your sport, some supplements are banned in sport. And if you're not going to have any harm put upon you from taking a supplement, then I think that we can agree that that's okay for you to take. I frankly think that you are peeing out money when you take some supplements, especially those that we have researched, and we can't really find a good benefit for someone that fits your picture, an athlete or a weekend warrior or a professional athlete, whatever it is. So with that being said, let's first talk about what exactly is a BCAA, a branched chain amino acid. So branched chain amino acids consist of three different amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Those three amino acids are essential. So that means that our body cannot synthesize them on its own. We actually need to introduce that from food or from supplementation. I recommend food, but yes, you can take it in via supplementation. And actually, it's pretty easy to take in your essential amino acids if you eat animal protein. If you eat like vegan or vegetarian or mostly plant-based, you may have to take in a little bit more protein, but you can still absolutely meet your essential amino acid needs if you are hitting your protein goals, really. On the flip side, we have non-essential amino acids, which the BCAAs do not fall in that category. Non-essential amino acids can be synthesized by our bodies, and we do not need to take them in from an outside source, from food or supplementation. So now you know what a BCAA is. Why would someone want to supplement with that? And there are a couple different reasons. The first big reason is that it's mainly purported for being a big, potent stimulator of muscle protein synthesis. So when you are exercising and you're lifting weights and you're breaking down your muscles, we need to introduce a form of nutrition post-exercise to build those muscles back. And if we're doing it correctly, and this is a goal of yours, build those muscles back bigger. So your type of training and the type of food and the timing of food all collectively and cohesively work together to do that for you. So specifically leucine, one of those three BCAAs, is the most potent stimulator of muscle protein synthesis. But guess what? You can get it from food. Really, we're talking about 2 to 3 grams of leucine post-workout to really reap the benefits of stimulating muscle protein synthesis. If you're consuming 20 grams of animal protein, 30 grams of plant-based protein, you're going to hit your leucine goal and reap even more benefits than if you were to do just a supplementation, because in food, you're getting vitamins and minerals, and it's tasty for one. Some of those BCAAs taste funky, just like some protein powders taste funky. But food is magical because all of the things contained inside of it work synergistically together to help our bodies absorb enough and be efficient about using it as well. We don't always see that with supplementation. A lot of branched chain amino acid products, if you ever flip it over and look at the ingredient label, contain some pretty nutritionally poor ingredients. I'm thinking like artificial sweeteners, natural sweeteners, some fillers like silicone dioxide because it's a powder. They also may contain other flavorings. They may contain actual sugar. Most BCAAs are low calorie, so it may not contain sugar, but it's sweet, so they have to sweeten it somehow, and oftentimes that's through a natural or artificial sweetener. And then they can also contain some irritating ingredients to your GI system. Some people are more sensitive to those ingredients than others, but obviously we don't want to be introducing something that creates some discomfort in our stomach and our GI system while we're exercising, because that can decrease your performance and just be uncomfortable. I've had that before, and I've wanted to cut my workout short because I feel gross and I'm in front of other people, and I don't want to do exercises if I feel like my belly is distended because I had some ingredients that just led to a little bit more bloating than I'm used to. And food can do that too, obviously. Beans, good for the heart. Those bad guys right there can definitely increase your bloating, especially if you're not used to it. Please understand, beans are very healthy. They're a great way to introduce some plant-based protein, but they do have lots of fiber, so they can definitely create some stomach issues. So maybe don't have beans as your pre-workout snack. We've also looked at BCAAs in research to prevent protein breakdown and reduce markers of exercise-induced muscle damage. So this and the other piece of information that I told you first about the purported benefits of BCAAs, those are the two most popular reasons as to why someone may be taking them. And we're talking about your muscles and protein. So we're mainly talking about, you know, people who are weightlifting or doing some form of resistance training, trying to put on mass, trying to increase muscle, things like that. The third thing that research has looked into in terms of benefits of BCAA supplementation is for actually them to be used as a fuel source for your muscle. We just do not have enough research in that area to even form an inkling of a conclusion. So if you're someone taking BCAAs for that reason, I think that you're wasting your money because we have no idea if that actually happens or not. And then the fourth piece of why you may be taking BCAAs is because it may actually reduce the onset of fatigue because it interferes with the transport of tryptophan in your brain, which can reduce the synthesis of serotonin, thereby reducing fatigue. Again, very early stages. There are actually other supplements that are more well-researched that can reduce the onset of fatigue, like caffeine and endurance sports. I love talking about caffeine. We'll have to do a supplement review on caffeine because we do know a lot about that in terms of dosing and types of activity that it's beneficial for. So stay tuned for that later. We'll definitely do one over caffeine. So when we're talking about BCAA supplementation and who might reap some benefits from that, I briefly mentioned that earlier, but really there's still a lot of questions over whether supplementation of BCAAs versus even protein powders in whole foods is going to reap similar or better benefits of stimulating muscle protein synthesis, delaying fatigue, so comparing that to caffeine, providing fuel for your muscles, so comparing that to carbohydrates. There's really no research out there yet that even supports similar results, so I would just caution you on spending your money on that. However, most BCAA supplements have a taste, and some people like to have a lower calorie taste in a drink versus like a Gatorade, which if you're just doing a short workout and you don't need substantial fuel during your exercise, that can be an alternative. But there's also cheaper ways to do that with similar ingredients like Crystal Light packets, liquid IV. You'll get some electrolytes as well, which can help hydrate you a little bit more efficiently during your workout. So just keep that in mind. I don't really think BCAAs are the best way to achieve fuel during exercise, stimulating muscle protein synthesis, but they can be a tasty way if you want to invest the money on them, and some people do. Really, there's no harm that we have seen reported from BCAAs, obviously making sure it's in a batch-tested, third-party-tested company that's producing that, because we know that there's not going to be harm directly related to the BCAA supplementation itself. If there are other ingredients contaminated in that supplementation that have caused harm previously, and we know that they do, that's a different story. So I think if you want to take BCAAs, you can do that safely. Again, just making sure that it is batch tested so you know what you're getting. There was a research article that looked into, like, hey, what's the highest amount of BCAAs that we could take and see or not see toxic benefits to our body? And they found that daily doses of 1.25 grams per kilogram of body mass over a year didn't even cause toxic effects. And that's a pretty high amount taken daily. So I think you'll be safe. If you are someone that likes to look up research in peer review articles and you look up BCAAs, you will find research that supports the use of them. For example, there is a recent study that looked into a 20 gram dosage of BCAAs about an hour before exercise. And then they had exercisers do a ramp test on a treadmill, and they found that the ones who took BCAAs did actually delay their fatigue. However, you also need to know how to evaluate research, and it's been concluded that there were actually some pretty big flaws in that research. So just because you read something online or even in a place where it looks like it's pretty credible, understanding how to read it in its entirety can be helpful. Look at the conclusion. Ask someone who regularly looks at research. I do all of the time. Nutrition is always changing, especially in the wellness world. So just a disclaimer, you will find research on BCAAs, but collectively through big position statements in governing bodies. For example, the Australian Institute of Sport talks about supplementation and classifies them. And we really don't see a benefit cohesively through research and an application of BCAAs in active people for the benefits that it's purporting: delayed fatigue, increasing muscle protein synthesis, and providing fuel for your muscles. I mentioned the Australian Institute of Sport. You can look this website up yourself. You don't have to be like a professional or a provider, and they actually rank supplements in terms of their efficacy. So there's four classes of supplements: group A, B, C, and D. A is essentially the best. You may receive benefits. It's been researched a lot. It's safe for sport. And then you get down to D, we see like harmful effects. Definitely not allowed in sport. Steroids is one of them. And then B and C are in the middle. Group B is, hey, there's some upcoming research about this. Let's do more and we'll probably see some benefits. And C is, there's either not enough research or we've done research and we still can't find an answer as to if this is beneficial or not. And BCAAs fall in group C. So I think that is a key takeaway from this, is that even, you know, places that are putting out lots of research and evaluating a lot of research are still concluding that we don't reap a benefit from this at this time. I do think we need more research, and I do think we will find out more about BCAAs, potentially in specific dosing and things like that. You'll see one dosing protocol of 2 to 3 grams of leucine post-exercise, and that's the same with like your food and your protein supplementations. One serving typically has 2 to 3 grams of leucine, but how often we should do that, the time of the day that we should do that, if that differs, we just don't know yet. So what is my final recommendation for taking branched-chain amino acids? You've probably already got that throughout this podcast, but you know, there is definitely some evidence out there and research being done on branched-chain amino acids as to if they are beneficial or not for influencing your skeletal muscle protein metabolism. However, the efficacy is significantly lower than just having protein, high quality protein. Like I said, your animal proteins are going to have plenty of leucine to stimulate your muscle protein synthesis post-workout, and your plant-based protein will have that as well. Just include a variety throughout the day and make sure you're eating enough of it, oftentimes a little bit more than you would have to with your animal protein. So for that reason, I think you should take in whole food, or if you are someone that takes in protein powder, that would even be a better option than branched chain amino acids based on the research. All right, that wraps up our discussion over branched chain amino acids. If you have a supplement that you want me to review, let me know. I'm happy to do that. I have lots of resources, and I, again, always take a food first approach. However, there's so much information out there and new things being produced probably on a daily basis. So it may teach me something if you recommend me looking into something that you have some curiosity about. So let me know if there's anything that you want me to look into. Otherwise, I will see you guys next time.